Hello, everybody. Bill Buckmaster with you, along with my buddy John, engineering and producing the show. Together, a big hearty welcome to the Buckmaster Show. It's Tuesday, September 27th, 2022. And the Buckmaster Show, broadcasting from the Green Things Zocalo Village Studio, the radio station 1030 KVOI, Tucson's voice for trusted news and talk. We have our worldwide live listening on my website, buckmastershow.com, when we do our telephone interviews, which we will do right off the top today. Our live line is presented by Rincon Ventures Real Estate and Property Management. Let's go now on the live line to environmental attorney and University of Arizona law professor and Democratic congressional candidate for Arizona's 6th District, Kirsten Engel. Kirsten, how are you?
I am fine. Great to be here.
Well, why don't we begin with this decision that came out of Pima County Court on Friday, ruling officially allowing the state's pre-territorial 1901 abortion ban to go into effect, which makes no exceptions for rape or incest and criminalizes all abortions. Your thoughts?
Bill, I am just horrified by this decision, and I am not alone. You know, as a woman, as a mom of a teenage daughter, that we would go back to a pre-territorial law on this issue before, you know, women even had the right to vote is really disappointing, frustrating. We just can't let it stand. So one of the reasons I'm running for office is so that I can go to Congress and that we can put into law that women have the fundamental freedom to make their own health care decisions. These are private decisions. I mean, can you imagine not having the right to make decisions about your own health care? And that is what is now the law of the land here in Arizona. And that's just unacceptable to so many women. You know, this is something that women should be able to make for themselves, you know, with their, you know, family, their doctor, you know, their religious advisor. It's a private decision. Government politicians should not be mandating these. And it puts us behind. I think it makes us a laughingstock. It's really going to be an issue for our, you know, men and women in the military here in this district. It's going to be tough in terms of attracting business, students to come to Arizona. There's a whole new thing. Do you really want to come to a state where if you need reproductive health care, you're not going to be able to get it? So very disappointing. It's something that we need to fight back about. And women are really, really upset about it. And it's not, obviously, it's not just women. It is a large fraction of the public. And I have to say, you know, my opponent in this race for Congress, you know, he cheered the repeal of Roe versus Wade. And so, you know, he is on the side of letting politicians make these decisions rather than people for themselves.
Yeah, we'll have Juan Siscomani with me at the top of the show on Thursday. Does this help your campaign for really kind of crystallizing your side? Well, helping the voter to get a clearer picture where the candidates stand on this particular issue?
Yes, I do think it is a clear line in the sand between myself and my opponent. So Mr. Siscomani, as I said, he cheered the repeal of Roe versus Wade. He would let politicians ban abortion without exceptions. That's exactly what has happened here in Arizona. It's happening all over the United States. And if you want to give over, you know, the rights over your own body to determine your future and your health to politicians in Phoenix or in other state houses across the country, well, that's your candidate, but that's certainly not where I stand.
And then on the top of the statewide ticket, the Republicans have election deniers right at the top of the ticket with Carrie Lake. How big a deal is that in this campaign, Kirsten Engel?
It is also a very, very big issue. We have poll results from our district where 60% of the respondents said that the Republican candidates running for office, that also includes my Republican opponent, Mr. Ciscomani, are far too extreme. And 30% of those responding that they were too extreme were Republicans. So this is not, it's not really a partisan issue looking at these extreme candidates. We have, you know, a clear outcry by the voters of what is going on. We had a safe, secure election. None of the challenges to the election have borne any kind of support or have been upheld by the courts. They have all been dismissed. And yet we have these extreme candidates that are, you know, just trying to pull the wool over the eyes of the voters and, you know, try to get into office with this sort of extreme lie that the election was stolen. And it's a grave disservice to the voters. And it shows that they themselves obviously cannot be trusted. And those are our top candidates running for office. And I have to say, even those who have not been as outspoken or about that have not been have not called those people to task. So once again, my opponent, Juan Ciscomani, when you have him on the air on Thursday, I hope you ask him, you know, are you lining up with those who believe that the election was stolen? Or are you do you accept that President Biden won the election?
So what else are you, what else is your polling indicating in the Congressional District 6? What other issues beside the election deniers, the 1901 abortion ban? What other issues are popping up, Kirsten Engel?
Well, one of the top issues that's popping up is that of water. We know that we're facing a crisis here with respect to the Colorado River. That we are going into a shortage in 2023, which is really, really concerning. And, you know, this is a situation where, you know, Arizona is kind of holding the bag here. A lot of this is being driven by climate change. You know, climate change is something, you know, the whole country, the whole globe needs to work on. But Arizona, with respect to water, is really kind of holding the bag here. And what we need is some action to alleviate the pressure on the river. And right now, you know, the Biden administration should be acting. So I have been critical of the Bureau of Reclamation. They said that if the states didn't come up with a plan to reduce the amount of water being taken out of the Colorado River by a certain date, that they would jump in with a plan and bring the states together. And most importantly, bring California into the room. Because right now, Arizona is subject to mandatory cuts and California, frankly, is not. So this is a critical issue. It's not just the Colorado River. It's also our groundwater. And the district that I am running for is reliant on the Colorado River. It's also reliant in groundwater as well. And right now, there's a lot of out-of-state and foreign companies that are here in Arizona who are, frankly, you know, pumping our groundwater dry and shipping it out of state.
Yeah, and even this Saudi Arabian company that's up in, I think it's the Kingman area, we had Chris Mays on the show a week or so ago saying a Saudi company is working or taking our alfalfa or something.
Yes, absolutely. And they're actually renting the land from the state land department.
Yeah.
So the Ducey administration has allowed that to happen. And it's just not right. I mean, Arizona's water is precious. It's something we need to keep control over and use for our own, for our residents, for our own economic development. So that is a top issue. And, you know, with an environmental background and also somebody who served in the Arizona legislature, I feel like I have a lot of experience and background on that issue.
Okay.
To work for Arizona.
Kristen Engel, thank you very much. Where can people find out more about the campaign? You want to direct them to your website?
Absolutely. That's engelforarizona.com, and it's E-N-G-E-L-F-O-R, Arizona, spelled out, .com. We're also on Facebook, Twitter, Instagram. So please reach out to our campaign, and we'd love to hear from you.
Okay. Thank you very much. Hope you have a great day.
Okay. Thank you, Bill.
All Bye-bye. Right. Let's talk about Mona's Danish Bakery, the bakery of the Buckmaster Show, our favorite bakery, home of the Danish Kringle and home of a lot of other things that I like. Like most recently had the best chocolate croissant I think Steve and the team have ever baked. What was that? Last Saturday had a fabulous chocolate croissant. Anyway, they're open right now for lunch. They open at 6:30 Tuesday through Saturday for a fabulous breakfast. We had breakfast there Sunday. A couple of eggs over easy. The bacon was wonderful. And, of course, you got to have a pastry on the side if you're up there for your breakfast. Mona'sDanishBakery.com is the website, and they are closed Monday. They deserve a day off. They've been very busy lately, and I can see why. They have a great product. Shelley Fishman is waiting in the wings, more specifically, waiting across from me and the table here. And the thumb is, well, yeah, kind of up and down. What another weird Tuesday on Wall Street. We'll be right back with Shell. Family-owned Jam Culinary Concepts and its family of restaurants has you covered for your special event. Jam caters anytime, anywhere, any size group, and any type of cuisine. Vero Amore, authentic Neapolitan pizza, and Noble Hops. Craft beer and fine fare are synonymous with quality. Call 954-1468 or log on to jamculinaryconcepts.com.
Delivering a $2 billion voter-approved regional transportation plan involves complex policy, legal, and financial matters. The Regional Transportation Authority is open to answering any questions you have about delivery of the current RTA 20-year plan or about the development of a new regional transportation plan for the next 20 years. Contact the RTA at info@rtamobility.com.
Buckmaster Show listeners know that I'm passionate about travel. When I'm ready to take off on a new adventure, my air travel begins and ends at Tucson International Airport. TUS is nonstop for our community and Southern Arizona. So remember, to fly local, fly Tucson. Tucson International is nonstop for Tucson. More at flytucson.com.
For more than a half century, Tucson Gardeners Trust Green Things, a family-owned and operated retail and wholesale plant nursery, offering an amazing variety of plants, trees, cacti, pottery, and so much more, all at great prices. The 13.5-acre site by the Rialto River is also home to the Zocalo Village, specializing in fine Mexican and Latin American imported furniture and art. Green Things open daily at 3384 East River Road and at greenthingsaz.com and zocalovillage.com.
The way we vote in Pima County is changing. Are you ready? The League of Women Voters of Greater Tucson invites you to visit ReadySetVoteTucson.com to learn about new vote centers for easier in-person voting, new voting districts, and changes to the early voting list. Get ready to vote at ReadySetVoteTucson.com. Brought to you by the League of Women Voters of Greater Tucson. That's ReadySetVoteTucson.com. Get ready to vote.
Are you happy with the news you get? While not all news is good news, you know good reporting when you see it. Check TucsonSentinel.com every day for breaking news and investigative reports. And your say in the comments. It's all in TucsonSentinel.com, your local, independent, nonprofit news. You can rely on TucsonSentinel.com for solid reporting about immigration, Tucson and Pima politics, everything from the border to baseball. It's independent news without the spin. TucsonSentinel.com. We are watching Tucson.
Nestled in the foothills of the Santa Rita Mountains of southeastern Arizona is Equine Voices and Sanctuary. Home to horses and burros that were rescued from neglect, abuse, abandonment, and slaughter. Please consider Equine Voices Rescue and Sanctuary with a financial gift of support and estate remembrance. Learn more about our vision and values at equinevoices.org.
Shelley Fishman is a financial consultant in private practice in Tucson, Arizona. The views expressed during this segment are his own and don't necessarily represent those of this station or of Bill Buckmaster Communications. Contact Shelley through buckmastershow.com or at shelleyfishman.com.
And here he is, Shelley. You know, we're in a, seems like kind of a free fall with the markets right now, and everybody's wondering how low is low. But historically, if you like go back to 2008, that was
let's not go back to 2008.
I shouldn't have brought it up. Actually, it was a bad.
So 2008 was a very extreme recession, but the causes for that recession were clearly linked to economic factors. We understood what was going on in the housing market. We understood some other things that were going on with terrorism and that kind of thing, that contributed to a slowdown in the economy that eventually finally found its way into a crisis that resulted in a very deep financial crisis for the country and, in fact, for the world. We don't have that now. What we have now is an economy that seems to be doing very, very well. You know, we have very low unemployment. Factory jobs are up. I'm going to call people's attention to an article from yesterday's New York Times. Factory jobs are booming like it's the 1970s. And it's not just factory jobs. It's jobs in services. It's there are essentially 5 or 6 or 7 million job openings now that can't be filled because we don't have people that either have the skills or the desire to fill them. So there is nobody who wants a job right now who can't get a job, whether or not they're fully qualified. So that's normally the sign of a pretty strong, strong economy. The downside of that, Bill, is that labor's ability to negotiate, and by labor I don't necessarily mean unions, but unions certainly fall into that category. People's ability to negotiate higher wages than we've seen in the past, certainly 3 or 4 years, has accelerated to the point that that's contributing to inflation. So you've got the labor costs contributing to overall costs for corporations, plus we have the higher costs of imported goods that are being forced higher through some tariff restrictions that I think should be dropped. In addition, you have the supply chain issues that have caused companies over the past year, year and a half, to make adjustments to their inventories that now have their inventories out of whack. And as a result, their costs of maintaining those inventories have gone up. Plus, you just have, you know, some companies just take advantage of it. They just do. I'm as big a capitalist as you'll ever find. However, there are corporations who think if I can raise prices, I will. And we see some of that in petroleum and natural gas, that kind of thing. As a result, we have inflation that just doesn't want to go away. And so we have not just the Fed, but the central banks across the industrialized world that are looking back to 1970s, 1980s solutions and saying, absent our ability to control prices some other way, The only thing we can do is control the demand side of the equation in an economy. And again, economies come in two flavors. You know, you got the demand side, the supply side. Central banks can do very little about the supply side, but they can control the demand side. It's a blunt instrument. It takes time for that blunt instrument to really see results, except in banking and in mortgage. We see those rates go up right away. Practically, we have mortgages today here in the States at more than 6%. But really influencing the overall economy and bringing down demand, it takes a while. And that's the only tool that the central banks are using. As a result, we now have the central banks, not just here in this country, unfortunately, but across the world, saying we need to get more aggressive in controlling inflation. And if that risks recessionary forces, then we're going to do that. And that has now scared the market to the point that we're in bear territory.
Well, for the investor, we sit and we just stay on the sidelines.
There is nothing you can do.
Okay. That's what I thought you were going to say.
Late.
What can you do? But unfortunately, some people may be panicking and saying they can't handle it anymore, and they'd be willing to lose 20% maybe of their retirement.
Whoa. And lock in the loss.
Yeah, don't do that.
So, if you think we're down 25%, we are, and we could go down another 15%, we could, then you shouldn't have been in the markets to begin with, because markets always have risk of loss. But we know that historically the markets will come back. Might take a little bit of time, but the markets will come back. If you lock in losses, and then we get a couple of really good days where the markets regroup and start going forward, you could lose 5 or 6 points in 2 or 3 days. We know that if you lose over the course of a year, if you lose just one of the market's best 5 days during that year, you could literally reduce your gains for the year from the average of 12% down to 2 or 3%, which in fact is what the average portfolio has done over the past 30 or 40 years. When the average gains in the markets have been 12, 13%, the average portfolio is up only 3%. And the reason for that is people chasing the curve. So I know it's hard, and I know this doesn't sound very, really encouraging advice, but the only thing you can do right now is bite down hard on your lip and do nothing. If you've got some cash sitting on the sidelines that you could reinvest at these lower prices, that's a heck of a good idea. I wouldn't do it all at once. We talked a couple of weeks ago about dollar cost averaging. If we had done that starting a month ago when we talked about this, people would have been able to put parts of the cash that they had sitting on the sidelines in at increasingly lower prices. Mm-hmm. So there are ways that you can react to this kind of horrible market conditions with the advice of a financial advisor or your team of financial advisors in a way that will mitigate your losses. Nevertheless, there's going to be losses right now. And the thing to do is not to panic. We have to remember, Bill, that the market is not the economy. We have no indication right now that the economy is tanking in any way. We think it's going to slow down because the Fed is pushing it to slow down. But all of the indications,
the hiring signs are all over the place.
Every time we get numbers, the numbers look pretty good.
People looking, there aren't a ton of people looking for jobs, but there are a ton of employers that want those people.
Absolutely.
So we've said this before, it's a hybrid anonymous, it's just kind of a a market that is unusual. Let's
right.
put
it's
it.
It's pulling in.
It's not
in
anonymous.
Various,
it's
anonymous.
Now
you have.
I know. I wish I hadn't used that
okay.
word. But
anyway, it's an anomaly.
Anomaly. Thank you.
And the reason it's an anomaly is because we have very good economic indicators. At the same time, we have high inflation, and now a market that is pointing to a much slower economy moving forward. So if it continues to point in that direction, we're going to have to listen to those signs. But for now, we've got, in a couple of days, we've got the end of the third quarter. Let's see what kind of inflation numbers we get, but also let's see what kind of GDP numbers we get for the third quarter, and let's see if the first and second quarter GDP numbers are revised upwards. I think they will be. We have to look at both retail and wholesale numbers to see where the forces are that are affecting things. So it's not a time to panic. It is a time to be really concerned, I think, and to watch closely, but not a time to panic. And again, I can cross my fingers and just hope that the heads of the central banks act the way they think they have to, but shut their mouths.
Meanwhile, if you're traveling, the dollar is incredibly strong.
Absolutely. You know, that doesn't say good things about the British economy.
No, it doesn't.
Or the European economy. Yeah. But yeah, you know, the
if
dollar
you're going
buys
up to
an
Canada
awful lot
or
of,
somewhere
lot
like that, it's
Europe.
Like $1 U.S., Canadian $1.40 or something. It's crazy. Yeah. Anyway, thanks, Shelley. We will talk again 1 week from today.
Okay.
Thanks. All right. Take a break.
Dine in or take out authentic Neapolitan wood-fired pizza at Vero Amore, where every flavorful pizza, pasta, and panini are homemade using the finest local and imported ingredients. Vero Amore, Plaza Palomino at Swan and Fort Lowell, and on Dove Mountain in Marana, plus a full catering menu and mobile pizza truck for parties and events. Vero Amore, on the web at veroamorepizza.com.
The Green Valley News and Sarita Sun cover two of Arizona's most desirable communities. The newspapers reach more than 75% of the communities each week, with a combined population of more than 50,000. The Green Valley News also publishes a dozen magazines each year, and both newspapers publish up-to-the-minute local news online at gvnews.com. The Green Valley News and Sarita Sun, it's all right here.
As a small business owner, I appreciate the services of a top-notch certified public accountant. That's why Michael C. Flowers of Flowers, Rieger & Associates is the CPA firm of the Buckmaster Show. Michael's a former Small Business Leader of the Year in Tucson. He'll professionally handle all of your accounting needs and tax preparation services. Flowers, Rieger & Associates, 6125 East Grant Road, and on the web, flowersrieger.com.
The Friends of Pima Animal Care Center is the nonprofit partner to our Pima County Animal Shelter. We grant critically needed resources to PACC so that it can continue the amazing life-saving progress it has made in recent years. Your generosity helps us find homes for abused, neglected, and abandoned animals at PAC. Learn how you can help at friendsofpacc.org.
Family owned and run since 1985, Moe's Gallery and Fine Framing is the gold standard for quality and professionalism for picture framing, custom frame mirrors, art for your walls, and hanging and lighting solutions. Come in for your design session or set it up electronically. Moe's Gallery and Fine Framing, Fort Lowell and Dodge, and now doing e-commerce at moesgallery.com. Welcome back. It is the Buckmaster Show in the Green Things Zocalo Village Studios. Green Things has a parking lot sale going on right now, and it's very tempting.
Got some great 10-inch hanging perennial baskets, $9.99. 5-gallon pink oleander, $19.99. Good buys right now at Green Things. They've been a wonderful sponsor of ours, 3384 East River Road by the Rito River, just west of the Brandy Fenton Park. It's a beautiful 13-acre site. It also is home to Zocalo, all that wonderful merchandise, some of the most beautiful handcrafted dining room sets made out of mesquite wood. Some of them are from Mexico, some from Tucson. So check it out, greenthingsaz.com and zocalovillage.com. Green Things is open daily. They are in their 52nd year. It's over 50 years for sure. The Buckmaster Show live line when we do our telephone interviews, which we will be doing in a moment, presented by Rincon Ventures, real estate and property management. Recently, the Lancet Commission published a report by a group of renowned experts who called out international leaders over how the failed to prevent the COVID-19 pandemic, the world's deadliest outbreak. The authors detailed massive global failures that led to ultimately an estimated 17.2 million deaths, as reported by the Institute for Health Metrics and Evaluation. Joining me on the live line, Nina Burley, a journalist and author of 7 books, including her latest title, Virus, Vaccinations, the CDC, and the Hijacking of America's Response to the Pandemic. Nina is the author of The Trump Women, Part of the Deal, and that was the last time I interviewed Nina. The last time I spoke with her was interviewing her about that book at the 2019 Tucson Festival of Books, and she joins us now on the live line. Nina, how are you?
I'm good, thanks. How are you?
Doing well. Thank you for asking. Tell me a little bit about, why don't we begin with this? Why did more Americans die of COVID-19 than in any other nation on earth? After all, the American healthcare system is touted as the best on earth.
Well, let's just put a little caveat on that, because there are more deaths in America than any other industrial country. By which, you know, we mean Europe, Western Europe, and so on, Canada. There aren't really good numbers for places like India and Russia, and of course China. Well, we know China's lockdown worked. So let's just say we actually had more deaths than any industrial nation. And that in itself is an outrage, because the United States is the richest country in the world. And as you just mentioned, our healthcare system is often touted as the best. And of course, the one thing that the pandemic revealed is that our healthcare system is not the best. It's not as effective in delivering healthcare to a lot of people in a pandemic situation. There were shortages. People just don't have access to medical care the way they do in some other industrial Western countries.
How did this book come about? How did you, or when did you decide, I've got to do something sure about this?
Good question. So I was not going to write a book about this. When in 2020, I had kind of wrapped up my Trump coverage. I was still paying attention to it, but I wasn't writing that much for Newsweek anymore. And as you said, I had published the book on the Trump women, and I was a little tired of keeping up with the daily tweet storm and all that. So the pandemic arrived at a kind of an interesting time for me personally, because I was able to move up to the country, leave Manhattan, where our neighborhood in Upper Manhattan was one of the earliest really ravaged parts of the United States. I actually was very lucky, because we had this place in the country, upstate New York. We spent spring and summer swimming, biking, taking walks. You know, we didn't have to wear the mask because we were out in the country. Very privileged and lucky. And then in the fall, the publisher of this press, Seven Stories Press, which is a small press in New York, called and said, hey, can you write me a fast book? I mean, in 3 months, a fast book, but a short book, 50,000 words, which is short in bookland. Can you write me a fast short book on the race to the vaccine? And this was just as the vaccine, the mRNA vaccine, was crossing that line from clinical trial to emergency use authorization. So it was probably right before the 2020 election, I think. And I said, yeah, I'm interested. I do sometimes write about science, and I'm fascinated by medical and scientific advances all over. I'm not a science writer, but I'm quite interested. And I said, I'll write it, but you have to let me cover two other things. You have to let me cover the way that the pandemic was handled in this election year, especially by the Trump administration, which was trying to stay, of course, get reelected. And there were lots of issues with politicizing this health crisis that I wanted to talk about. And then secondly, I said I need to cover in a chapter the crazy conspiracy theories that have been erupting around this and why that was and where it was coming from. So he said yes. And so I wrote a short book, 50,000 words long. It's called Virus. And it really allowed me to delve deeply into, you know, the political system, politicization of the pandemic, but also the fascinating scientific history of vaccines, the amazing landmark that the genetic science has brought to humanity in the form of this new kind of vaccine, and then also just delving into the craziness of the conspiracy theories. And that actually, I have the book is updated with a new chapter, which was published last month, and under the same title, with a new chapter really talking, going deeper and further into how these conspiracy theories and really disinformation was weaponized against the American people for political reasons, in many cases, not always, but in many cases, for really cynical political reasons.
And you bring up the conspiracy theories. That's definitely on my list. So maybe we will go right to that and what you talked about in the book called The Great Reset. I started to hear early on, within, I would say, weeks of March of 2020, about this crazy conspiracy that Bill Gates was behind this, that the vaccine would put a tiny chip into you and everybody would be monitored that was doing this. I mean, that seemed to be the one that really started circulating, Nina Burley, early on.
Absolutely. And yeah, Bill, I first heard that. I was actually in the summer of 2020 doing a documentary project with Norwegian television, of all places, in fracking country, Ohio and Pennsylvania. They asked me to help because they couldn't send their people into the United States. At that time, the U.S. was just, you know, pariah world, and the other countries had it under control. So I went out with a cameraman, and we were doing this story on fracking, and it's a whole other subject. And I was sitting around a campfire, or, you know, like a garden, like cookout one night with some of the local people, and sitting across from somebody who actually was not like just a, you know, he had a PhD in chemistry or physics, and he started waxing on about this Kung flu. I mean, he didn't use the word Kung flu, but this like depopulation conspiracy that, you know, the elites were, you know, had unleashed this because the world could not handle enough, so many humans. And so, you know, Bill Gates and Hillary Clinton and Donald Trump, everybody was in on it, except for the 98% of us who had to go in order for them to survive and keep the world going. And I was just agog. I was like, well, wait a minute, you have a PhD. So anyway, he didn't have the Bill Gates microchip thing going, but he was basically, it was basically this thing which you hear a lot, that, you know, the elites were behind it in some way. And yeah, so that's the first time I heard it. And then, of course, when I was writing the book, I actually hired a young a young man who I've known since he was a child, who's now, you know, a digital native in college. Mm-hmm. And mm-hmm. I said, could you do me a favor? Not a favor, I'm paying you. Just do the deep dive into Reddit and all those places online that I don't have time to find or actually don't know how to find certain things. Go in there and dig up all the conspiracy theories that you can find. And I thought he was just going to send me, you know, a little list. And he basically wrote me like a term paper on the varieties of conspiracy theories. And you know, it was just everywhere. And it was the mis and disinformation in that period. That's, we're talking still 2020, late 2020, early 21, before the vaccines were even out, was just everywhere. And, you know, what's interesting, Bill, is that part of the book I did, you know, the chapter two is about the history of vaccines in human beings, mm-hmm. like our the human invention, the medical invention of vaccines. And if you, you know, if you read in the history of pandemics, the conspiracies and the sort of like, well, you know, the reasons that the human brain comes up with for these disasters, they're very similar to what happened now. Like people, the human mind is still, or the emotion, or the, I don't know how to describe what this is. The you know, that there's a primeval sort of part of us that really wants these like other reasons that to make sense of horrible things. We want to find maybe a superstitious reason, or there was an asteroid or a comet that, or the king, you know, in the 16th century, or they, even before that, you know, the Black Death, the king had done something bad and this was revenge on the people. And, you know, that's all biblical stuff, right? So this is the way that we sort of see the human mind still going in these directions, even though if you look at the history of medicine and the history of the vaccine was invented around the 1700s, 1800s to deal with smallpox. And they discovered, and I'm not going to go into all the details, but they discovered that if you put a small piece of this thing that was killing people, if you put a piece of, like, you know, it's disgusting, but like a little piece of the scab into the skin of a person who had never caught smallpox, in many cases they wouldn't catch wouldn't kill them when they actually encountered it.
Right.
So in other words, it's the concept of if it doesn't kill you, it makes you stronger.
Right.
But it was what it really was is the attenuated or weakened virus or germ. If you encountered it, you would then be immune to its stronger version. That for hundreds of years was the model of all vaccines in everything every kind of vaccine that has been injected into our babies. You know, we now have like 16 vaccines for babies. It's based on that model, weakened or somehow, you know, made so that it doesn't kill you. The flu vaccines, the same thing. It's all weakened and it's injected into you. For 300 years, that's what we were doing. And it was extremely effective. It was extremely effective because before 300 years ago, we human beings had absolutely no protection from any of this stuff. And when they invented the vaccines in the 1700s and 1800s, they still didn't understand what it was that was killing people. They didn't have the microscopes. The lenses weren't even developed until the late 17th century to begin to start to look at bodily fluids and things where you could start to say, oh, you know, early 1800s. Oh, that's what's killing people. When you have cholera, everybody seems to have this like little rod-shaped tiny thing in their body. What is that? So we didn't even know how to see what these things were. And that's why modern medicine has changed everything for human beings. And this new vaccine, well, I'm not going to get into it until you ask me, but I just am in awe of how relatively short a period of time it is that we have had this kind of protection from disease that would wipe out. I mean, even in the 1900s, early 1900s, the death, the lifespan of Americans was like half of what it is now. And that's because they had all of these diseases that we don't even know the names of anymore because our babies are injected with these serums, right?
Yep.
So to then have now, you know, this amazing medical milestone, which we can talk about, to have that been given to us by these people at the NIH and all of these scientists and entrepreneurial biotech companies that have been working on this, to have that turned around and given to us in this record speed of time and then have it be available to everyone, which it became available immediately. And then you have a third of the country going, nah, it might have Bill Gates' microchip in it. It's just so outrageous.
We're going to have to...
Yeah,
we're going to have to take a break right here. We'll come back. We'll have about 5 minutes left. And I want to talk real quickly about that remarkable landmark mRNA vaccine and also about the future, about how people take the CDC. How are they going to take it serious in the future? But we'll be back with Nina Burley right after the break.
Tucson's original gastropub, Noble Hops in Oro Valley, proudly announces a second Tucson area location where you'll enjoy locally brewed craft beer and gastropub fine fare. Order in or take out at Noble Hops, a pub for foodies, on West Lambert Lane at North La Cañada Drive in Oro Valley, and now at the Doubletree Hotel on Alvernon across from Tucson's Reed Park. More on the web at noblehops.com.
Delivering a $2 billion voter-approved regional transportation plan involves complex policy, legal, and financial matters. The Regional Transportation Authority is open to answering any questions you have about delivery of the current RTA 20-year plan or about the development of a new regional transportation plan for the next 20 years. Contact the RTA at info@rtamobility.com.
Tucson International Airport, we are nonstop for our community. Our main priorities are providing a safe and secure travel experience and excellent customer service. We're also nonstop for landing prosperity in Southern Arizona by attracting new flights for business travel and family getaways. When your airport thrives, our community thrives. So fly local, fly TUS. Tucson International Airport is nonstop for Tucson.
Are you searching for a sumptuous suite on the Italian Riviera, an exploration of the mighty Mississippi, or an indulgent spa in Cancun? Bon Voyage Travel will help you find exactly the vacation you're looking for anywhere in the world. With many cruises setting sail in over 1,100 hotels and resorts to choose from with our exclusive benefits, Bon Voyage Travel's experienced advisors are here to guide you every step of the way. Visit bvtravel.com or call 797-1110.
Cushman & Wakefield Picor is Tucson's leading independently owned full-service commercial real estate company. Founded in 1985, Cushman & Wakefield Picor offers leasing, sales, and property management for industrial, office, medical, retail, land, and investment properties in Tucson and Sonora, Mexico. Visit our website at picor.com for the latest news from Tucson's commercial real estate sector. That's picor.com. Call us at 748-7100.
Hi, this is Irene Coppola, President and CEO of the Better Business Bureau serving Southern Arizona. The BBB sets the standards for marketplace trust by engaging with and educating consumers and businesses. The BBB is the resource to turn to for the objective, unbiased information on businesses offering national and local consumer services online and in person. Learn more about the many services offered by the Better Business Bureau at bbb.org.
The nonprofit Tucson Wildlife Center has been helping injured, sick, and orphan wildlife in Southern Arizona since 1999. They're dedicated to the rescue, medical care, and rehabilitation of sick, injured, and orphan wildlife, with the goal of releasing them back to their natural habitat. Around 5,000 animals a year come to them, as they are the only wildlife rescue in Southern Arizona. All made possible through donations. They receive no government funding. Please donate at TucsonWildlife.com.
This is Bill Buckmaster urging my listeners to join me in becoming a member of the Reed Park Zoo, one of America's top zoos and home to more than 300 animals from all over the world. When you become a zoo member, you receive free daytime admission, discounts on special events and education programs, and so much more. Find out more about zoo membership and everything you need to know about your zoo visit, reedparkzoo.org.
This is Kate Delaney. Tune in later tonight as we talk about everything that happened throughout your day. Tonight at 10 on 1030 KVOI, The Voice.
Welcome back. It is the Buckmaster Show. This portion presented by our friends in Silver City in Grant County, New Mexico. Only a three-hour drive east of Tucson. So much to do, including hiking in the Gila National Wilderness, visiting the world-famous Cliff Dwellings National Monument. Check out southwestnewmexico.org on where to stay and what to do. We continue now with Nina Burley, journalist and author of seven books, including her latest title, Virus Vaccinations, the CDC and the Hijacking of America's Response to the Pandemic. Nina, you've been over in Silver City, haven't you?
I'm in Silver City right now. I loved that ad. I love the Gila. I'm here just for 2 months on a kind of a writer in residence thing at the university.
Yeah, Western New Mexico.
That's it's fantastic.
A great tie-in. All right, I've got only about 3 minutes. We talked a little bit about the game changer, the new vaccines, how it will really change everything. But I do want to talk about the CDC, the first major mistake, kind of screwing up by not accepting the tests from the World Health Organization and saying, oh, we can do it better. You got to wonder, what is it going to take? There was mistake after mistake. How do they get their reputation back, Nina?
Yeah, I mean, they definitely stumbled. In my book, my opinion is that, and this is an informed opinion from talking to people in the pandemic preparedness community outside of the government, the last administration had not prioritized keeping contacts up with people in terms of pandemic preparedness. They were focused in these the health departments, public health sector, let's say, of the federal government was focused on things like, let's say, you know, moral issues, like reproductive issues and gay marriage and things like that. And if we had more time, we could talk a little bit more about that. But they put these people in charge of these organizations like Redfield and Azar. These were evangelical Christians who had their eye on something else. And so the pandemic preparedness community in the United States, which is the gold standard in the world, was not they were trying to contact people in the government, and they no longer even knew who to communicate with because there had been this sort of breakdown between, let's say, the traditional experts and some of the outside world. So that was part of the problem. But yes, other than that, yeah, they screwed up, and you can't just blame the administration at the time for it. They screwed up. They had, been identified as the gold standard on the planet, and they weren't. They didn't live up to that. And I don't know how they get that back. I mean, public health is not a priority in this country, and
no,
that
it isn't.
May be part of it.
I wish I had more time with you, but we're quickly running out of time, only about 40 seconds. Trump's focus on the flu. Early on, he asked, does anybody die from the flu? And very well, he knew. The family lore is his own grandfather dropped dead in 1919, leaving a German-speaking widow with three kids to find a small building company. In Queens. So he knew about the deaths in the 1918 flu. Yeah,
absolutely. An amazing story that they never really publicized. His grandfather dies of the flu, leaves the widow who barely speaks English, and she started the Trump Organization to keep herself and her children clothed and housed.
Yep. One of the little known facts that has emerged from the book Virus Vaccinations, the CDC and the Hijacking of America's Response to the Pandemic. Nina Burley is the author. We like Nina. We're going to bring her back. She's over in Silver City. We love Silver City, where she's writing at Western New Mexico University for a couple of months. Nina, great to catch up with you, and all the best to you.
Likewise. Thank you so much, Bill.
Thanks.
Have a great afternoon.
All right. That's going to do it for the Buckmaster Show. On behalf of Nina and John, engineering and producing the show, Bill Buckmaster saying, stay tuned for Dave Ramsey.